Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, the Children's Corner. Today, I'm speaking with Monica Parker. She is author of OMG, How Children See God. What do children think about God? How do parents open up the subject of God with their young children? Author Monica Parker chronicles conversations she had with children on these questions and more in the new book, OMG, How Children See God. Using kids' words and pictures, Monica uncovers the funny to the serious and the confused to the spiritual when it comes to how they view God. OMG showcases the differences and similarities by kids of every economic, cultural, and religious background. Their insights can be funny, poignant, and galvanizing with deeply rooted sentiments. Monica also considers this book to have the potential to serve as a way for parents to start talking to their children about God. As soon as a child can talk, many parents begin to consider the God thing and how to best open the door to religious teachings or just have that conversation. OMG will, hopefully, help to bring about an understanding that not all faiths view God in the same light. But that doesn't mean that any one faith is wrong, just different. And today, with so many marriages having diverse religious backgrounds, there is a real need for open-ended and open-minded conversations about God. You can find out more about OMG and Monica by visiting the website www.omgkidsbook.com. And I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So that I'd like to welcome Monica to the show. Good day, Monica.
Hi, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much. And I'll tell you that is a funny thing, that book and the kids. You know, you mentioned in the introduction in the book the old Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darnest Things. And boy, that is really, I mean, that's an apt comparison between what you did and what he did way back when.
And it was a total accident. It wasn't until after the book was finished and I looked at it and I realized, this is what Art Linkletter did. And kids do say the darndest things.
Yeah, they do. They do. Well, I'm looking forward to talking more about it. So, first of all, what led you to write the book about how children see God?
Came from parents who had different religions. My father was an Anglican of the High Church of England. He was British, and my mother was Jewish, and she came from Vienna. So they culturally were completely different, and then they also were spiritually incredibly different, and they didn't. That was just the basis of the beginnings, I think, of their divorce, which was also unusual or less common back when I was growing up. So not only were they at complete odds on the spiritual front, they were just at complete odds. So after I was born, I sort of joke that I was baptized and matzah balled on the same day. And then no one spoke about religion ever again. And I felt this void. And I really don't know whether the void was spiritual or whether it was because I had divorced parents or it was a bit of both. But I think that on some level, there was, when you're a child of a single parent, you don't feel connected in the same way to community. And we didn't have a big family. So I used to feel this envy when I would see children walking with their parents, holding hands with two parents, and I would feel envy about that. And then I would feel envy when I would see them going in their best clothes to a church or synagogue or whatever their house of worship was. And I think subconsciously it developed some sort of consciousness that I knew that when I had children, I wanted to do better. I at least wanted to provide my son with a sense of ritual and a sense of community. So that's where it began. And then when our son was about seven, he came to us and he asked us who God was. And that's a big question. So,
yeah.
But I answered. I said, well, you can't see God, but we believe that God is inside every living thing, whether it's a spider or a tree or a human. We just think that God is inside everything that is alive, and you have to know that. So the next morning he woke up, I think about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he came into our room and he said, Mom, Dad, I know who's seen God. And I said, who? And he said, doctors. When they cut people open, there's God inside. And that image, as literal as it was, just sort of stuck with me. And I just was there. And so when my publishers asked me what I wanted to write about, this sort of just, you know, like ideas are there, they're circling in your brain, and it popped mm-hmm. out. And it was a 3 a.m. idea that moved to the front of the line. And, and then it got exciting because I realized how many kids come from diverse backgrounds. And I thought, well,
mm-hmm.
I really do wonder, what are children thinking about God these days? So that's
going through and reading the book and seeing some of the comments that they made, I mean, you can see the teachings of the belief systems of the family that are coming through, you know, with them. And I enjoyed that because, there was quite a range, you know, quite a range of answers. Now, how did you find the children, and what ages were they that you used for the book?
I was very clear that they needed to be under 12.
Okay.
And I thought 4 was about the youngest that would
mm-hmm.
have opinions. And it turned out that the majority of kids that I really found to be the most open were somewhere between 5 and 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I had 4-year-olds and I had some 12-year-olds, but right in the middle was where the majority came from. And how I found them, it was like throwing a pebble into the water. I started in a circle. Yeah, I started on my street
mm-hmm.
and in my family. I would just ask people if I could talk to their kids or if I could send some questions if the parent would prefer to be the one who asked the questions. And
right.
then I expanded it out to schools and to churches and synagogues and mosques. And it just started to get bigger and bigger. And then it went, you know, into Canada, into the UK, some kids in Germany. It was wherever really I could find access. And just grew. I mean, people, you know, a lot of people got excited. Some people said no, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. There were people who definitely said, no, I don't want to introduce that subject to my child, which was surprising. It was surprising given that God, the word God, however you interpret it, is we all hear it every day. That word is out there. It's, you know, it's on our money. You know,
right.
In God we trust. People hear OMG, oh my God. They say,
right.
They say some negative things. I mean, goddamn. They say this, you hear it all the time. So
right.
it's not like it's not in the ether. It is. So they they do know and have heard the word God. So it was, I found that interesting when people said they didn't want to discuss it. But, you know, everybody is entitled to their belief system. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's, I mean, obviously the people who are atheists out there who, you know, don't, you know, have that belief in God, you know, may want to, you know, pass that lack of belief, for lack of a better, description.
You know, it was interesting, but also,
The belief that sometimes parents have that they want to let their children grow up first and let them discover for themselves.
I think that's true, and some people certainly feel that way. But with the atheists, I actually had read an article about an atheist a preacher who had a church, and I thought that was interesting, so I wrote to her. And I said, I'm doing this book, and I'd be very curious to know what your children say about God, given that you are atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, well, I don't really understand. We don't use the word God in our church. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And she said, so, and I said, well, what do you use? And she, it was really just basically, it's a philosophy, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a philosophy of behaving well in life, but without the umbrella, I guess, of God. And so she didn't feel that her kids would be able to answer the question because it isn't part of their teaching. I thought that was interesting. And, you know, some atheists also said to, you know, they couldn't get the book. And I said, I don't understand that, because if you have a sense of humor or a heart, you're going to get this book, because it's really about what children think and say. It doesn't matter what the subject is. It's always entertaining to read the uncensored open-mindedness of kids.
So yeah, I agree.
I don't
think
it matters what your spiritual beliefs are.
Yeah. Well, now, in all of the questions and answers that you had, what would you say, did you find the most poignant of the answers?
Well, two come to mind. One was an 11-year-old girl who I asked, is there anything God can't do? And she said, yes, bring my daddy back. And that's pretty touching. Clearly her father had died. It wasn't a divorce. He had died. And that was very, I mean, I could feel it from her, and I certainly felt it. And the other answer was a child in Los Angeles who lived in a fairly poor neighborhood. And she said that her mommy told her that God was inside her lunchbox so that she would be protected on the way to school and on the way home. And that was very sort of revealing in a whole other way.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, those, you know, it's interesting because, There were some very funny ones. So what were some of the funny ones that you liked?
Well, I asked a little boy, I said, it was the same question. I said, is there anything God can't do? And he didn't miss a beat. He said, God can't stack chairs. And I didn't understand it. I said, I didn't know that. And he said, God can't stack chairs. And I thought about it a lot. And I think I had one of those moments in the middle of the night where I woke up and I went, maybe he overheard his mother talking about his father. God, he can't even stack chairs.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, I don't know if that's where it came from, but that's what came to my mind.
I'm sure. that is hilarious.
He was in church, and he saw people stacking the chairs at the end of the service. That's another way that could come about, maybe. So that one was pretty funny. Another one was a boy who said that God could do anything except his homework because his mom said he had to do it.
Oh, how funny.
That was funny. There's no shortage.
Yeah, we know. Oh, I know. Well, you know, the on the topic of, you know, what is there anything that God cannot do? The one I really liked, and I just had to laugh at it, was the one that said God cannot create Earth because scientists discovered something called the Big Bang a few months ago. I thought, oh,
yeah.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the funny thing, oh, you know, and also there was one, too, that, you know, I just, you know, as far as what God can do, you know, there was one of them that was like one of the young boys. He's like a transformer. He can turn himself into anything he wants. You know, so, I mean, it's kind of funny the different concepts and views that the children come up with.
Which is the, yeah, it's like a little treasure chest when you open up their minds, because some of it could be what they're dealing with right now, like that kid's playing with a transformer, so that works. I was watching, I'm also gathering videos, and I was watching a little boy this morning. His father asked him, what would you wish God could do? And he said, I wish God could turn rain into chocolate drops and mango juice.
Just,
wow. So it doesn't. I think it's really interesting. I mean, children just speak in. They live in the moment. So
right.
You know, sometimes they're interested in the conversation. Sometimes they're completely not. Which was part of what I found effective was why when I sent the questions out to parents and I said, you know, ask them when they're clearly in the mood, because otherwise, they're just not going to give you answers. They're going to be sort of, they're busy. If they're busy doing what they're doing, they're
right.
not going to be wanting to help. So
yeah.
That was kind
that's
of fun.
True.
Yeah, and I just found another touching one. This is another touching one. It says, God, a boy, Jonathan, he was also four, God could take me out. He wished that God could take him out of his bed at night to visit his dog, Cody, who was killed by a too-fast car. So, you know, it is what's going on in their minds.
Yeah, you know, it seems that the topic of death, you know, when that seems to be at a time when God kind of enters the picture, is when children are confronted with death.
For sure. Well, I think that's when God enters the picture for lots of us. That's sort of something that I really, you know, I asked myself, because I came up against this a lot, I started to wonder if in some circles of society, if God is out of fashion and only sort of brought out for the big holidays, Easter, Christmas, but those are really about eating dinner with family. Or if God was just there when the emergency bell needs to be rung, you know, people who are having a crisis often suddenly speak to God, which means that God lives inside them, but they're not necessarily speaking to God every day. They wait till they need help.
Right.
So
right.
You know. Unlike other people who, you know, it's a daily practice. It's just, or a weekly practice. It's interesting.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me, I just saw speaking of Big Bang, one of the, you know, the TV show Big Bang, where I forget what his name is, but the main character is saying, you know, I don't believe in you, God, but right at this particular moment, let me go ahead and kind of hedge my bets here and let me talk to you, you know. So
isn't that the truth? I mean, that is, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, again, it just means, I find that interesting because, you know, that idea that people who say they don't believe in God, but then they'll call on God is very common.
Yeah, very much so. Now, do you see this book as one that parents and grandparents can read to the young children and kind of basically use as an opener to get that discussion going?
I so see it. First of all, I've seen it in action. I have seen parents and grandparents giggling with their kids. I mean, it's a very, you know, it's because it's interactive, because it's the drawings are so charming, and also so many of the things they say. So I think when you come across something that's either touching or funny or poignant or whatever, or curious, it means that that expands the conversation outwards. And then the children will ask more questions. And I think it's a great conversation starter. And it's one of those great bridges between any age, like a grandparent or a parent. Often when grandparents don't really know what to say to the grandchildren, anytime you pick up a book and start sharing, that's a conversation starter. And this one, because the kids can identify because they see drawings and they recognize themselves. That's what I've seen mostly from kids, is how much they see themselves in this book. They relate, or it inspires them to add on to it or say something else. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because in a couple of the places in the book, the children approached the subject that they weren't sure if God was a man or a woman. And they did drawings of God half and half, you know. And I think that that's, you know, for children who maybe haven't even thought of that, you know, gender aspect, that would be something for the, I mean, it would, I think, stimulate, you know, their thought processes to really, I never thought about that.
I found it very interesting because for sure the really young kids have not been confronted, or at least I don't think they have, with all of this current gender change and gender this and gender that. And so I don't think that they were getting an outside influence. I think it was genuinely their thoughts. You know, one little boy said to me, I think God gets up in the morning and he twirls and twirls and twirls and twirls and then when he stops, he could be the girl part. You know, and they were completely comfortable. It's boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. I heard it a lot. You know, I don't know if God said, there's one girl in the book that says, I don't know if God's a man or a woman, and neither do you. I don't know if you remember that. But I thought
yes, I do. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah. Yes, I remember that. Yeah. And then one of them also said that they were going to find out when they were 100 and die, you know, or something to that effect.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to call in and ask Monica any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Monica, feel free to type it in there. And then, Monica, when we come back, what I'd like to start with is I'm wondering if you could share with us what you feel that the effects of spirituality and religion is on kids today, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Monica Parker, and we are speaking about her book, OMG, How Children See God. Again, you can find out more about Monica and her book by visiting the website www.omgkidsbook.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, we're back. Monica?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Great. So as I mentioned before the break, what in all of these interviews that you've had, what do you feel the effects of spirituality and religion on children? I mean, that it's necessary, that it's there, that exactly what kind of, how is the importance, what's the importance of it, do you think?
I simply stated, I think that everyone needs nutrition for the soul. And I think we live in a world where there are so many questions, and I think that religion has been hijacked by some people for an agenda that has nothing to do with spirituality or God. So I think kids hear that stuff on the news, and they don't. They may just hear it as background noise, but, you know, kids hear everything, and it creates more questions. So to me, from what I was so pleasantly surprised to see how many children today really appreciate the conversation about God. And I think there's something to be said that there's more than the self. So there's something greater than oneself outside of us. And I think that makes for much more empathetic human beings. And just opening your mind and your heart to the curiosity about faith and belief, and really about non-judgment about other religions. So I think it's really important. We live in a very diverse society that is struggling in a lot of ways, you know, to with acceptance. And at the very core of, this is me speaking, so for me, we have to be inclusive. And one of the ways to be inclusive is to share all religions with their children, with your children, and have them know that there's not just one. You know, we are like a box of chocolates. We come in different flavors and different shapes and different, we have different beliefs, and we're all tasty.
And that's a great way. I mean, some of them are white chocolate, dark chocolate. Some have nuts, you know, but they're all tasty.
But it's how we need to, teach children because they're open. And I think when I was first speaking to you, you said, you know, you could see in the book how the trajectory of beliefs came from the parents to the kids very often. So it's on us as parents, if we want our children to be global citizens, then we have to let them understand there's more than just what they believe. And it doesn't make, you know, it doesn't make anybody's God better than somebody else's God. This is not a contest.
Right.
You know, that's what I think. I think that's important. I think it's really important, especially in these times where there's just so much divisiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, and there's just the religious dogma creates such
conflict and war. I mean, you know, and it's such a detriment to mankind that it really...
From the beginning time, and we're still beating each other over the heads. I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's power. You know, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. Some people need to think they're more powerful than someone else.
Right,
so,
right. You know,
in
fact, we're all powerful.
God, I say that God is just missing one more O, and it would mean good. And so,
that's good. Yeah, yeah.
If you're not religious, at least you can. I mean, I think that godliness is just a euphemism for being kind and caring and compassionate and trying to do well in the world. Those are good things.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah, you know, I want to spend a few minutes and talk about some of the questions, just to give the listeners a good idea of the content of the book. Some of the questions that you posed to the children. First of all, you start with who is God? Great place to start, you know. But you could tell in the answers that the variety create. I mean, it's a whole spectrum of variety. Now, did you find that virtually all of the children, of course, not the ones that parents would let you talk to, but they all had a set idea of who they felt God was?
No, I think it was pretty free-ranging. Some kids said that, one child said God is someone who died a long time ago and he owns heaven and he's very kind to let people go there. So for that child, God was real estate, where God lived. So I had a five-year-old, this came up a couple of times, but a little girl who said that God was her grandma, and somebody else said God is like a king, only better. And then, which is kind of funny, they were so big. You know, some were more religious than others, like God is the Lord and the Creator. And then it would be, oh, no, God's the guy who created the world.
I'll tell you, the one that got me was God is a myth, like unicorns and dragons. I thought, whoa, but he liked them. I mean, he liked them all, you know, but...
Somebody said God was a really famous spirit.
Wow. Yeah. Now, another one of the questions that you ask is, what does God wear? Now, I have to tell you, I wouldn't have even thought to ask that question. But, I think most of them felt God wore a robe, whether it be white, brown, rainbow, you know. So
loads of robes.
Lots of robes.
But then there was one kid who said that God wore a robe and dino underpants.
And of course, there was always the commando. He wore nothing. So,
then someone said it doesn't really matter what God wears. We can't see him anyway.
That's logical.
You know, logical and philosophical. Really fun. I loved, you know, when in the one that, what does God look like? Well, God has giant ears so he can hear everything we're saying.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, and then there was where does God live? That one did have quite a few varieties. Most of the time, though, it was heaven or up in the sky.
Or up in the clouds.
Yeah.
But heaven, and then there were the descriptions of heaven, and, you know, I like the one who said God lives in a big house behind a pearly gate.
Yeah, and then there was, the one I just cracked up when there was I think it was the boy that said, in our heart, but not our stomachs, because there would be no room for food. That is just a riot, you know, but I mean, obviously he heard at one point about God being in the heart, you know?
Definitely.
But logically, you know, you got to eat, so there's not enough room for both.
God lives in his own house up in the sky. It's called the house of the Lord.
Oh, that is funny. Great. And then where does God sleep, or does he even sleep? You know, that one, I mean, I'll tell you, the response from one child was doesn't sleep, his responsibilities are too big, but he has calm time instead. It's like
isn't
that funny? Of a timeout.
Exactly. I liked also that God sits at his cloud desk. We've moved away from the big book. There's a picture in a drawing of God sitting in front of a bank of computers in the book.
Oh, gosh.
And he's looking
yeah.
at the world from all the different computer screens. So that's definitely a sign of the times.
Yeah, very much so. Now, you know, speaking of pictures, there were a lot of pictures in your book, and I love that. So did you have, when you ask questions, that you also send out the invitation to have them draw their answers as well?
Absolutely. I said I would send out, you know, about 10 questions, and I said, listen, your child can answer one or five or all 10, but what I really would like is at least one drawing, and preferably in color. but I'll take it any way I can get it, because there's like this one drawing that's on, you know, yellow lined paper. It didn't matter how they came, and some children are remarkably gifted as artists, and some are just kids who do some kind of squiggly great things, but they're more typical. And but the range of talent as artists was amazing.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Now, out of all of the interviews that you had, what would you say maybe are some really underlying threads of commonality?
Well, there's a good question. I think the acceptance, just the absolute acceptance that there was a God from,
mm-hmm.
you know, 98% of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was really interesting. I mean, whether they were schooled in it or not schooled in it, when the question came up, they kind of went there. And their imagination
mm-hmm.
was like a sail that took them off, and they had answers. So that was definitely a common thread and a surprising thread. And it didn't matter what religion they were either. At the biggest difference would come about from the economic backgrounds of the kids. That you could really see. The kids who came from, you know, not necessarily affluence, but from a safe harbor of, you know, protection, of financial protection, versus the kids who came from nothing. And the kids who came from nothing often asked for stacks of money, toys, things for their parents. I mean, they were living in that moment of need. And that was very different.
Yeah.
Unlike the other kids who that didn't come up at all. It just, they didn't think about it because they didn't have to.
Yeah. Now, you have videos of these kids, is that correct?
I do. There's some on the website, and, you know, I keep asking for them, and people keep saying they're going to send them to me, and they come slowly but surely. But once again, I always say it's really best if you can get your kids to just ask them when they're relaxed. Ask them, don't make it be a setup. You know, because then they're not, then they're more formal. And I think children are at their best
when it's
they're
spontaneous,
just
yeah.
ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, the spontaneity. Yeah. I mean, I have a video of two brothers who the question was asked of them, so where does, how does God get to heaven? And the one boy, the younger brother, says, well, he has to take a plane. And the older brother, who's 9, says, no, he has to die. And then they start beating each other up as they're going, plane, die, plane, die.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. That's funny. So,
that's something.
Yeah, so there's definitely, I'm very much looking for videos because I think they're delightful and three-dimensional. You get to be in the moment and see them. So they're great.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've watched a few, and they are great. You know, it's a lot of fun. Now, if a parent out there would like to participate, what would they need to do?
I think if they go to my website, there's a place where they can ask. They can write to me, and I think it's Monica at omgkidsbook.com. It's on the website, and then I'm happy to. They can send drawings. They can. I'll put drawings up, and I'll put videos up. And the videos shouldn't be long. I mean, they should be, you know, anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. Minute and a half.
Oh, good. Okay. That's great.
You know, and I think the only question they have to ask is, what does God mean to you? Who is God? Take it from there.
Yeah, and let them run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what has been your response so far with your book? I mean, have you gotten any kind of, what kind of feedback have you gotten? Anything that
amazing. Amazing response. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a magazine or an online magazine called Guideposts, which did a huge mm-hmm. spread and asked me to do some blogs for it. CNN did an enormous piece. Huffington Post did a big, big piece. Italian Vogue. I don't know how that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. In Bosnia, China, Japan. I really don't know how it happened. I think it's one of those miracles that we shouldn't question.
Right.
It just happened.
You know, I mean, it's a global concept and topic, you know? So, I mean, everyone's talking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's definitely
Very
that.
Much.
It has no date stamp on it, so it's open-ended. And people just, I feel that once you see the book or get into the book, it's heartwarming. You know, it's definitely a pleasure as opposed to something difficult. You know, sometimes when you ask people to read books, they go, "Oh, that sounds hard." this isn't hard.
Yeah, no, it is, and like I said, it really is a great way to facilitate discussion, you know, and to really open up their minds, you know, because again, many of the different points of view that are expressed in the book, you know, children may not have been exposed to, so it's a great way to, you know, kind of bring up the topic. I mean, there was one in there that talked about, you know, God and nature, you know, and how that is. How that's connected, you know, and you know, those are wonderful, you know, the philosophical kinds of things to, because you know, kids right now, I mean, their brains are processing, you know, forming their beliefs, and these are things that are going to guide them throughout their whole life.
And also because it's an interactive dialogue, you might actually be able to get them off their computer screens. And that's a big challenge. That's a huge challenge, I think, to find activities that kids will like. You know, so that's definitely one of them.
Very much. Well, Monica, this has really been wonderful to talk to you this morning, today. I really appreciate you spending your time. And I loved the book. I just thought it was a great fun.
Thank you,
Robert. One of those kind of books that I'll pick up a lot, you know, just to give myself a laugh, you know, when I need one.
And I so appreciate you having me on. It's been a great conversation. It's fun to talk to you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Monica Parker. She is author of OMG, How Children See God. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.omgkidsbook.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth's Children's Corner show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at ByteRadioMe. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.